Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to have you here with us here on this wonderful Sunday morning. And no matter what you're doing, we hope you'll stick with us for the next half hour. We've got some great things we're going to be sharing with you. I have a good friend of mine from the Central Michigan area, Pastor Lee Rhodes, that's going to be sharing with us today. And I think you're going to be really blessed as you hear his story and about the ministry that he serves in at Countryside United Brethren Church. And so we're very, very excited about that and to have this opportunity to be with you. I wanted to mention to you as we kick off our broadcast today, next Sunday, we're going to have with us Mona Teal, who is out of Saginaw, who has Heart of Saginaw Ministries, which is a powerful ministry right in the heart of Saginaw and probably one of the most difficult areas of Saginaw. I've driven road down the street there to visit their ministry there, and it's not uncommon to see balloons tied to a street sign where someone was shot there in the street. A lot of poverty that they've had to deal with. And they're making a change and an impact. They're helping students graduate from high school. They're doing some powerful, powerful things. So you want to be tuned in next week to this parachurch ministry and just how that God guided her to be able to do that. I think you'll be really, really blessed by that. We also wanted to mention to you that if you've missed any of our broadcasts, they're all available online at agchurch.net. That's alphageorgechurch.net. And you just go there and look for the media section and you can connect right through there. The podcasts are all listed there. If after Sunday mornings, they're usually listed by Monday evening there. So if you miss part of this podcast, broadcast, and you're not able to listen to all of it, maybe you're on your way to church, which would be great if you're on your way to church right now and you want to get caught up, you can go back and listen to these. We had a great program last week with Pastor Ron Fredericks from Porter Free Methodist Church, and that was really awesome. And so we just encourage you, support these ministries. I wouldn't have anybody on here that I don't absolutely believe in and believe in what they do and wouldn't wholeheartedly support their ministry. They're good men and women of God that have been called to the Central Michigan area to be a blessing to you, and you just have to take advantage of that. Well, today we're blessed to have with us Pastor Lee Rhodes. I've known Pastor Lee for a long, long time. And so I've been here 32 years. He's been here longer than that. And he might be one of the longest pastoring pastors in Central Michigan. And but he's out at Countryside United Brethren Church and serving there. And so welcome, Pastor Lee, to Unscripted. Yeah, we're unscripted.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, awesome. So I wanted people just to have an opportunity to know a little bit more about you and where you've come from and sort of your story. I know that you've been married how many years now?
Oh my gosh, wait a minute. That's a question. 54 years.
54 years. Yes. Yeah, awesome. And you have some great kids.
Yes.
Yeah, and how many?
Three children, 11 grandchildren.
11 grandchildren.
Yes, yes.
And I had the honor of coaching one of your children, okay. Tony, okay. At Breckenridge High School, and I was a basketball coach. They're a great kid. Yes. Loved having him on the team, hard worker. And you're a very blessed man. Your quiver is full, obviously, yes. Right? With yes. Grandchildren anyways.
Right, right.
Awesome. So you're not from the area here, though. You started out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, how you came to know the Lord and okay. And where you've come from.
My dad was a farmer.
And, okay.
I grew up on a farm in Caro.
Okay.
So it's not that far away.
Okay.
We had been in Prescott, Michigan, and then moved down to Caro. My dad worked for George Mott. And it was on that farm one Saturday morning that our pastor, blind pastor, and his wife came to our house. And he talked to my sister and I about being baptized. And he says, well, first of all, I need to ask you, have you asked Jesus to forgive you your sins?
Huh.
And I said, no. He says, would you like to do that? So there in our living room, he led my sister and I to the Lord.
How about that?
So it was that was the start. And as I grew up on the farm, I really, really spent a lot of time working, not a lot of time learning. And if you would.
Yeah.
In bookwork.
Yeah.
So as I graduated, went to college to become a pastor. I always knew that I was going to be a pastor.
Okay.
I knew that from the earliest, even before I gave my life to the Lord. Okay. I remember looking at a Bible and trying to talk to my siblings about what it meant.
Yeah.
And I just got fulfillment in that. So I was kind of aware that that's what I was going to do.
Okay.
As I went to college, I got married, and so I had to start working to support my family. I worked more and went to college less.
Where'd you go to college?
Huntington University. It's a university now. It was Huntington College in Huntington, Indiana.
Okay.
Southwest of Fort Wayne.
Okay.
And I was working on a chicken farm.
Back in farming.
Yes. We had five barns, 250,000 plus chickens.
Oh,
in
my
each
goodness.
Barn. So it was a lot of just making sure things were going well.
Yeah.
Chickens are funny creatures, as all of us are, I guess,
yeah,
in some manner or form. But I then from there went into the restaurant work.
Oh.
And I was 15 years in the restaurant industry. I worked for Big Boy, Wendy's, worked on our own, worked for Big John's.
Okay.
And it was while I was working with Wendy's, we were at a manager's meeting up in Grayling.
Okay.
I could take you to the hotel, the room we were at, when the Lord said, it's time for you to move on to make profit for heaven instead
wow.
of profit for earth.
Wow.
And I mean, it was almost like one of those audible voices, but I almost said out loud while I was around the table of 11 other people. It's like, would you tell Eileen? My wife. So it wasn't long after that when Eileen and I were in a service at our home church at Colwood there, that we heard a message, and we both felt the call that it was time. So we went forward and were prayed for, and then we began to apply, and it was at our home church that an opening was there for an associate pastor.
Okay.
It was like almost seamless.
Just yeah.
The road was cleared, if you will,
right.
for us to go into ministry. We were there. While we were there, it was a year and a half after we started. I was associate pastor, visitation, youth pastor. The denomination, the United Brethren denomination, asked us if we would like to be involved in a ministry in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Planting churches.
Okay.
So we were down there for 3 years.
Okay.
And after the 3 years, we came back to Michigan. Countryside was open, and that's how we landed here. I still had not completed my education, and Countryside agreed with our denominational officials that I should go to school, and they underwrote the schooling.
How about that?
You know, the books, the transportation. I remember one guy saying, well, if we're going to invest in you, we'd like you to stick around.
Huh.
Yeah. So I think I fulfilled that.
Yeah, no kidding. I had a couple questions of what you talked. Are any of the original members that helped bring you in still here?
Yes. Yes.
So I think like at the church I pastor, like only like maybe three people are left of the original crew that
okay.
I came in.
Yes. No, there's some that are very old, some that are, you know, my age.
Sure.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yes, there is.
Wow. So they were part of that. Get your education.
Yes.
That's awesome,
yes.
man. That is
something
totally
interesting
awesome.
About Countryside Church that we've recognized. People have come to Countryside Church who have left another church in a very painful or kind of like they were at odds with each other, and they've left. Many have come here, and it's been like a hospital for them,
huh.
a place of rest and
okay.
respite. And then when they've gotten strong again, they've moved on.
Huh.
So it's been difficult at times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it hurts when somebody leaves a church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we recognize then it's more for God's kingdom work
yes.
than Countryside work, and Countryside has survived.
Yeah. So when you talked about farming as a kid, now
yes.
were you livestock or mostly
dairy farm?
Dairy farm. Oh, wow.
When you're taking care of animals, it's just It wasn't just crop farming, which is part of it.
Yeah, sure.
We had, at the time, it was a large herd, was considered at that time, 70 plus.
That's a lot.
Now 3,000.
I know, yeah.
You think, wow, my dad would love to see some of these. Yeah. Some of these.
Oh, no kidding. Well, you think about back then, of course, the milking machines were not the same as, I don't even know if you guys had milking machines, but
yes.
They were a little bit different than what they're using today, where they're rotating the cows around.
Yes,
it's
totally
just pop
different.
Them on, move them to the next thing. I mean, it's just
totally the cows.
Yeah.
And the cows know what's
it's
going on.
It's very industrial. Yeah, the cows. Right. It's very industrial today.
It is.
And I'm always intrigued by how that they're managing all of that with the cattle today. So you guys had a dairy farm and pretty much lived off the land, then,
yes.
I would assume,
yes.
Where you were at.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a great experience. I was not able to be involved in sports because as soon as school was over, I'm home milking cows.
Right.
Got up at 4 a.m.
Right.
To milk cows. So I had to get to bed early. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting and ironic that God brought you here where you're in a farming community.
Oh, yes.
Pretty much, you know, where people don't realize that sometimes you have kids that can't play sports because they've got help on the farm, especially in the springtime when things get crazy or during harvest time.
Right.
And, you know, so that becomes a difficult challenge. And so it makes you much more, have much more empathy with what people go through on the farming community.
As well as my restaurant experience and business experience.
Yeah.
It's a totally different experience from a lot of other things because you've got to please the customer. You got to please the crew.
Yeah.
You got to please the boss. You know, at the upper level. So you're watching everything.
Yeah.
Make sure you're making money for the guy who invested in the restaurant. So it's.
So while you were in, what did you notice different about the people from Cairo to Alabama to Indiana and then back here in this central Michigan area? What would be different among the churches, the people, how did you feel?
I think the thing that stuck out to me in Alabama was the depth of friendship.
Okay.
Once you became a friend, once a local person in Alabama decided to make you their friend or allow you to be their friend, you're a friend for life.
Wow.
TC was a guy working on his car. Mm-hmm. He had dirty, greasy hands. And we found out they needed some financial help. Mm-hmm. And so we went over just to talk to him. And he got out from underneath his car and he was talking to me. And I reached out my hand and he says, you know, he looked at his hand and he goes, shook his head, no. And I just held my hand out and he reached it out then later. And later he had us over to his home. He got his name TC in prison.
Oh, okay.
Top Cat. And he said, Pastor Lee, I want you to know we don't have preachers in our home. I'm looking, I go, what am I doing here? He says, well, you're my friend.
Oh.
He said, you know when you became my friend? And he pointed back to that time where I shook his greasy hand.
His dirty hand.
You know?
And yeah.
He said, you know, our lives go a lot deeper than just what's on our skin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he and his wife gave their life to the Lord. They were in youth ministry then.
Yeah.
So just, wow. Just wow experience.
I guess so. Yeah, I've heard you talk about we're both a part of the same ministerial group and talk a little bit about your time in Alabama, a few of the differences there with folks and even the church services, how they're a little bit different.
Yes.
Than within, here in the north.
Within the border of Birmingham, it's cosmetology. It's just people from all over.
Okay.
So it's, but then when you get outside of Birmingham, it's real redneck country.
Okay.
You know, just,
it's and rural.
Yes. We were able to meet a couple, many individuals, but a couple stand out that, they were just very, very poor.
Yeah.
And, we were able to lead them to the Lord.
That's awesome.
And accept Jesus's payment for sin.
Yeah.
And they just readily accepted, and just their life changed.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I know you've been doing this a long time now, ministry, and obviously a lot of people could walk in and say, hey, you know, you're retirement age. Why don't you just retire? And what keeps you going? What keeps you doing what you're doing?
I think pleasing God.
Yeah.
And hearing people say that meant something to me, or this is what I took away from that, whether it's a message or mm-hmm. something we do as an activity, mm-hmm. You know, trying to help people just relax and have fun, but have fun together, knowing that God has given us life and enjoying each other's company.
Sure. Well, you know, I you and I've talked a little bit about this, but I just turned 65 last year. And, you know, always the talk is that, okay, so what are you doing? Where are you going? You know, a lot of our friends that we went to high school with, they're retired now. I mean,
yes.
Or retired earlier. And so family members as well. And I heard a pastor say this. He said, look, God called you into the ministry. God's got to be the one to tell you when it's time to step out of the ministry.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought that really helped me a lot because of, you know, it's really not my decision to make. I don't need to make that based off of anything other than the reason I ended up doing what I'm doing is because
right.
I didn't call myself.
Right.
You know, you'd still be working in a restaurant down in
that's true
somewhere anyways.
Yes. Yeah.
And had you not had the call that God said, it's time.
Right.
It's time.
I think we have different giftings. Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham,
yes.
They spoke to hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
They could not interact with each of those individuals.
Yeah.
You and I work in churches the size where we can know and visit with each family that attend.
Yeah.
We can have that personal interaction, and they need that kind of interaction with somebody who's interested in them, and God has given them a vision and a mission to touch their lives and to help them through the tragedies and crisis of life.
Absolutely.
And so there is a difference.
Yeah.
We're not called to be mega church pastors.
Right.
Or we would be there.
Right.
Somebody needs to be touching people's lives on
yeah.
the local level.
No, I totally agree. And
I
think we talked a lot about how in the last year, how that God is calling us away from being attractional to being community. To build
right.
community within our
yes.
churches, continue, and I, you know, I was thinking, you know, I know as your team gets bigger, obviously, really all you're doing is pastoring people in the team. You're not really pastoring the bigger group of people. They have to do that for you, or there's just no way.
Right.
So you know, it is an awesome thing to connect with people's lives. I think we get that, and I know you have this. We sort of have the old country doctor mentality, right? I mean, it is. I mean, we brought you into the world, you know.
Yes.
We've been with you through every season
we'll
of life. Yeah, and there's, you know, we married you. We married your kids
yes,
off.
Yes.
We did all those
things.
I just
did that just a few months ago. Somebody who I married, now I'm marrying their, you know, officiating the wedding of their kids. I go, oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I you know, it always, to me, it feels like an amazing thing when you dedicate a child in a service and you go, I dedicated their mother when she was a baby, you know, and here she's
yes.
21 years old now.
Right.
And so, you know, those are things I think that God puts in our heart, though. To some, it probably wouldn't matter. Some, but to us, that is a
yes.
big part of what we do. We're connected with those people.
Right.
So I want to talk a little bit about Countryside.
Okay.
Of course, we had Ron on last week, Pastor Ron. And
yes.
We talked a little bit about the story about that Countryside burned down.
Yes. The old Jackson Street Church.
The Jackson Street Church. And then they met at the Porter Free Methodist
right.
Church.
Porter opened their doors and said, you guys are welcome to come. We'll adjust our schedule. You guys can meet at an hour. We'll meet at a different hour. And so that went on while the new facility was being built. And after the new facility was being built, they each congregation said, we enjoy worshiping with you guys.
Yeah.
And because they had joint Sunday evening services.
Right.
So they did worship together on
okay.
Sunday evenings.
Sunday nights they did.
Yes. So after Countryside moved into their new facility, Porter and Countryside still met on Sunday nights.
Oh, wow.
They would switch off locations. And the people who came didn't know who was going to bring the message that night until they saw a pastor with a tie on.
Oh, really? That's funny.
So if you were speaking that Sunday night, you need to put a tie on.
Now, was this the new facility then where we're at now?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess we should mention too, where is this at? Tell people how they could find this church.
North of 4.5 miles north of Breckenridge. On the east edge of Breckenridge, you take McClellan Road north. It turns into South 11 Mile Road at the county line.
Yes.
For 4 miles north of 46.
Okay. And what time are your services?
9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning's 9:30. Yes. Now, is there anything during the week or is it like...
Small groups meet on Tuesday night. There's a men's group and a women's group that meet here.
They meet here.
Yes.
Okay.
Teens group meet on Sunday night.
Okay.
There's for elementary age students as well as high school, junior high and high school.
Oh, awesome.
So Teens Loving Christ is the high school, junior high and high school, middle school, I should say.
Yeah.
And then Jumpstart is the younger students. And they both have, I don't know, they're running maybe 10, 12 now.
Good. Each of them, so. Oh, that's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, great. So that's going on. So no midweek service, no Wednesday, no Sunday night or anything like that. Yeah, that's fine. The church, the Countryside, has a great reputation, obviously, in the community because you've gotten so involved in the community.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And people, I always thought that was that was one of the things I found with our church that when I came in, the former pastor was not involved in the community at all. And so people don't know what you actually are like. I mean, they're not connected and they may not come to your church, but they talk about your church. And so I think that you've been like, you and I served on the chamber together,
yes,
the Chamber of Commerce in Breckenridge. And then we're part of when it went to the Gratiot Chamber.
Right.
And we served, of course, in the ministerial group together for 32 years now.
My predecessor, John Harkness.
Yes.
Was one of the pastors who was instrumental in starting the ministerial group, the local ministerial group.
Okay.
He was also involved in the Chamber of Commerce. And so I just kind of had, I got sucked in. So, but it was not just totally that. It was by choice.
And
just a great opportunity to get to know people in the community and to be available to, live life with them.
Yeah.
So,
it seems like because you have the gift of leadership that everything you get involved in, you end up being some type of leader. You're either the secretary or the treasurer or something.
Treasurer for 25 years.
Yeah, the vice president. I think you and I were president several times for the chamber. You're citizen of the year in Breckenridge.
Oh, man, that was crazy. Like, what?
I think it's awesome, though. But, so I wanted to talk about the church. So if somebody wanted to come here, let's say, wanted to come and be a part of the 9:30 service. Is there dress requirements? I mean, does everybody wear a suit and tie?
No.
Sure there are folks that do, but is that the typical?
No one. I don't know of anyone who wears a tie and a jacket.
Oh, really? Okay.
Blue jeans and dress shirt, not a dress shirt even, just very casual.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know, nobody looks at what you wear.
Mm-hmm.
They get to talking to each other and greet you at the door, and an experience that people have said it's like a family reunion.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good feel.
That's, yes.
And it's an important one. So if someone comes, what would the experience be like for them? So they come through the doors, they've met the greeters, they're going to come sit in the service. How will that go? What will happen during that service?
There is singing during the service. There's a time of prayer. No one is called upon. No one is pointed out like, oh, we have visitors here today.
And, okay.
Do you want to introduce yourself? We don't do that. It's like if you were to walk in, it's like you've been here before.
Right.
Somebody will say, welcome. If I see somebody, I'll go, hey, hi.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us today.
Yep.
And that happens often.
Sure.
We have people who will stop in and, you know, just get to know us.
Right.
See if this is a good place, a good fit. So,
yes. So there'll be worship and then there'll be there. You do scripture readings.
Scripture readings earlier. And then a message from the pastor.
Yeah.
And then there's after the worship time, there is a fellowship time, cookies and coffee.
Oh, okay.
Cake or whatever.
Okay.
And then there's opportunity to go to a Bible study for all ages. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So what have you been teaching? What's been your series that you've been into here?
Well, I'm just getting ready to go into a series from 2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
That it begins with faith, and we add to our faith integrity, add to integrity. So there's a list of 8 things.
Okay.
And we're gonna begin this Sunday talking about faith.
Okay.
And what faith is. And I, you know, I have to just kind of ask God where we should go with our teachings. Mm-hmm. And because I'm just one person. He knows each heart.
Yes.
Of people who attend. So what does Countryside Church need?
Right.
So when I came across this scripture again, I mean, I've known this scripture and the list there, to be in very nature like God or to share in the nature of God, this is what you do.
Right.
And I was going to say, well, this is a good sermon, and I'll just go through those 8 things. And as I began to study them, the Lord says, not so fast.
Yeah.
That was what I sensed.
Yeah.
And I then just realized that I was to go through this list and really expound what are we adding to our life. And so it's like our person, the very core of who we are, we've got to have faith.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to start. And then the next part, Peter says, add to your faith. So it's almost a given. You have faith. He's speaking to people of faith.
Yeah.
So with your faith, add moral excellence.
Okay.
Which is integrity.
Sure.
So we've got to kind of consciously test ourselves.
Yes.
Where are you?
Yes.
And work at, okay, God, help me see where the psalmist says, test me, Lord, and see where I'm weak.
Yeah.
So add to your faith moral excellence. I don't remember the next one.
That's okay.
But add to these. Oh, so each one, and it ends up with brotherly love and then love for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like you're adding to yourself these shells. And as you add integrity, it soaks in
yeah.
to your faith, and it just mixes in with your personality.
That's awesome.
So it's each one of those. We're gonna walk through that.
Yeah. And something you said, it just reminded me, and this has been a real challenge for me, is that in any given Sunday when we're preaching a message, that there are people that are there that have not had such a great week. They've mm-hmm. maybe been diagnosed with cancer, right. or they're going to have surgery, a major surgery. They've had a death in the family. Sometimes we know right. those things, but you know, they could be going through a divorce or having a rough time in their marriage, or a kid is making bonker decisions right. and they don't yes. know what. And it's a challenge for us as a minister that it, because we, you know, I heard one guy say it like this: when you prepare, it's all in how you look at the audience that you're going to be talking to, how that you're putting this together.
There is an element of that, big, strong element.
But it's the Holy Spirit that obviously guides us into yes. what we need yes. to get into.
It's a big, big task. I remember as an associate pastor at Colwood, my senior pastor was going to go on vacation with his family, his folks and his family, and they were going to go out west. And as the motorhome, we said goodbye to them, as the motorhome pulled out of the lot, I was in a church-owned home right next to the church, so I was watching out the window as they left. I'd gone back home. And as they left, this weight came on. It was like an emotional, I don't know how the mix of emotional and spiritual, how to describe it, but it was a weight. And I just, I like, I'm it.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience of what does it mean to be a pastor?
Yeah.
It's very hard to describe.
Yeah.
But there is this.
You don't learn that in college.
Right. Only God can help you walk that line. But I agree that during a speaking experience or a worship experience, the Holy Spirit is the one who's taking the words and it's like arrows into people's hearts. And every person is getting a message from the Holy Spirit tuned in to their frequency, if you will, exactly what they need to hear.
Yeah.
And so as we rely on God, on the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's not that we just say, oh, well, let me speak on this. Let me see what I can say about this. No, we study, we look at the background of the scripture, and we try to get the message honed into what is, you know, acceptable.
Right.
And then we have to relax and say, okay, God, I've done what I thought I should do here. I've listened to you. I've followed your leading. It's up to you. And different times I have prayed from the pulpit before I speak, I've said this: God, if I would dare to open my mouth, or if you would dare to give me your word, mm-hmm. I will dare to open my mouth.
Oh, wow.
So out of Jeremiah, you know?
Yeah.
I will put my words in your mouth. That's our faith and our
Amen.
Hope.
Amen. Like, that's powerful.
So,
well, thank you for doing this today with me.
Sure.
And I definitely feel it's important for people to know about what's happening at Countryside. And to come check you guys out. North on McClellan Road, mm-hmm. Out of Breckenridge, off of M46. Right. It's probably the easiest way to point it out.
Yes.
I guess we didn't talk about coming south to do all that.
Right.
But people know we're 11 Mile Road, right? Is that what the one we said?
Right. They would come across on Porter Road if they were coming from like Mount Pleasant area.
Okay.
Down to Coleman Road, coming across Coleman Road to Porter Road.
Yes.
And then I think it's three stop signs.
Okay.
Is South 11 Mile.
And there's some signs on that are out there that tell you're heading the right direction.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's definitely helpful. But 9:30 Sunday morning. Right. And thank you again, Pastor Lee. You did a great job here today.
Well, thank you.
We want to thank you for being with us today on today's broadcast. And as we said earlier, we would never have anyone on here. We wouldn't absolutely, wholeheartedly, 100% endorse what they're doing. And so I endorse what Pastor Lee Rhodes is doing at Countryside United Brethren Church and the church that's there. If you're looking for a great church to be a part of, that's a family church environment, like a family reunion, this is the church that you want to come check out. And is there a number that they can call? I'm just offhand. I'm just trying. There's a website on Facebook, right?
Yes. Or? Yeah. Facebook. 989-842-5516.
So if you're interested, you have more questions, you can call that number as well. We'll be back next week at 9 a.m. right here on WQBX. We're looking forward to our time together. Have a great day on this wonderful Sunday morning.